This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. It could be easy to miss Sandend, one of the smallest of the old fishing villages scattered along the northeastern coast of Scotland on the Moray Firth. Its sandy beach makes it a popular spot for holidaymakers these days, even surfers. But you don't really pass through Sandend. You're going there, or you're not. There isn't much in between, but that doesn't matter. Strung around the shoreline is a row of old fishermen's cottages, most of which date back a good couple of hundred years, parts of them maybe even further. The thick walls of those cottages have seen a lot. Generations of families grew up in them. Their stones have absorbed all sorts of songs and stories, have given protection against storms and welcome refuge for returning seamen seeing a lamp lit in the window. These are the homes of sea people. With sea people goes tragedy. And Sandend has seen its fair share of that. Probably no more and no less than anywhere else, but its fair share. There was the storm in 1835, when a Sandend fishing boat almost made it home. The families of the five men aboard gathered on the shore, willing them home, watching the boat rise on a wave and vanish into a trough, and they nearly made it home. They were barely 100 yards from shore when the boat vanished into a trough and never rose again. Five men leave a big hole in a community like Sandend. Seven men leave an even bigger hole, like the time in 1762 when a fishing boat carrying seven Sandend men, six of them married, never came home. The sea has washed things up there. Bits of cargo, sometimes a strange-looking sea creature, the occasional body. And like anywhere, Sandend's fortunes have ebbed and flowed. There was the herring boom of the 19th century, for example. Good times. And 2 years ago, the community came together to thwart a plan for an offshore wind farm whose cables would have torn up the beach that's the beating heart of the village. There have been hard times too, when the walls of those cottages have thrummed with anxiety. But Sandend endures. It always finds a way. It's seen war and peace, storm and sunshine. It's been hidden by fog and battered by gales. But Sandend, like villages all around the coastlines of our islands, endures. It endured the hardships of the storm that blew up in April 1903, for example. The schooner Maria, from Oldenburg in Germany, owned and skippered by Herman Hibben, had left London on the 29th of March, heading for Bucky with a cargo of manure. It was slow progress up the east coast, and when the ship came around Rattray Head into the Moray Firth on the morning of Saturday the 11th of April, it was right into the teeth of a strong westerly wind. Making little or no progress, Captain Hibben decided to drop anchor in the limited shelter of the bay at Sandend and wait until the weather improved. By lunchtime, the villagers could see the Maria, half a mile offshore, was labouring in the heavy seas. And when the storm increased overnight and there were signs she was starting to drag her anchors, they called for George Pitts. The chief officer of the Coast Guard, Pitts, was taking no chances. He ordered the rocket equipment to be set up, ready to fire a line to the ship to provide the crew with an emergency evacuation option, should they need it. With his own volunteer crew, he stood ready all afternoon, and most of the evening, buffeted by the wind and strafed by hailstones, until the lifeboat from Bucky arrived and Pitts and his men could stand down. At 11:30 that night, having stood off the Maria for 2 hours in heaving seas, the lifeboat returned to harbour and informed Pitts the crew had declined their offer to be taken ashore, convinced they could ride out the storm. The wind only increased overnight, and by dawn on Monday the Maria was dragging her anchors and being forced towards the rocks. At 5:30 in the morning, George Pitts and his crew were back on shore, battling the storm to set up the rocket apparatus again. Shortly after they arrived, they saw the Maria driven by the gale onto the rocks on the eastern side of the bay. For the captain and crew, rescue was now the only option. Pitts and the crew, assisted by a crowd of concerned locals, rushed through the horizontal rain to assist Captain Hibben and his crew of five, firing the line across the deck for the men to attach and clamber safely ashore. One by one they came, hand over hand, legs crossed around the wire, over the rocks as the wind howled, the rain strafed, and huge waves exploded onto the rocks a few feet beneath them. They were hustled quickly across the beach and through the doors of the cottages strung along the shore, one man to a home, six havens for desperate men a long way from home. Taken in by strangers who'd seen these storms before, seen ships go down from which few or none could be saved. A change of clothes, a steaming mug of beef tea, concerned faces shiny with weather, looking at them with eyes flashing in the light of the lamps and speaking a language they didn't understand. But you didn't need language. These were people of the sea, just like them. They knew. The sailors knew. The villagers knew. The storm raged on. The storm that had been in their ears for 2 days. But now, instead of the shrieking of wind through rigging and the groaning of straining timber, there was the crackle of a fire and the bubbling of a kettle. Through the windows, under a violent sky and silhouetted above the darkness of the rocks, each of them watched their ship breaking up on the far side of the bay. By that evening, the vessel that had carried them here, that hours earlier was a proud ship with polished brass and varnished wood panelling, would be nothing more than a mass of splintered timber and rigging, masts down, an undignified tangle of ropes and debris that rose and fell with the waves. George Pitts, his coat pulled up under his chin, walked between the cottages, visiting each man in each home, one by one, assuring them they would be looked after. As well as Chief Officer of the Coast Guard, Pitts was also the area representative for the Shipwrecked Mariners Society, who would see to it that the men would be taken to Aberdeen, where the German consul would find them a ship home. But until then, they were welcome here, in Sandend, with these people. With these people of the sea. In each home, as he left each man, Pitts placed a hand on the shoulder of the sailor, looked him in the eye, and nodded. Because he knew. Within a week, it was almost as if nothing had happened. The sailors were on their way home. The remains of the Maria, once the pride and joy of Captain Herman Hibben, were gathered up and sold for firewood. £10, 19 shillings and eightpence. The cargo went for £10. The two anchors, with cables, raised 10 shillings. Sandend endured. There were more storms, more struggles, more good times, more songs and more stories. 3 years later, George Pitts was promoted and posted to Kirkwall. Sandend was sorry to see him go. In the 8 years he'd been among them, the people had taken the former naval officer from Devon to their hearts. Because he knew, just as they knew about sea people. They presented him with a silver-topped cane, a pipe trimmed with silver and a tobacco pouch, and wished him well. And George Pitts left for Orkney. And Sandend endured, like all the coastal villages endured, because they knew about sea people, because sea people just know. That was A Coastal Story, and I'm Charlie Connolly. I really want to thank listener Micah Scheiderman, who lives in Sandend, for pointing me towards the story of the Maria. Thanks a million, Micah. Thanks also to everyone who's bought Coastal Stories a pint via the link in the show notes. And it's an unforgivably long time since I've thanked the splendid people who've signed up to buy a monthly pint, or in some cases, pints. I really appreciate it, and it helps to keep this show on the road. Or on the water, maybe I should say. I'm not just shilling for booze, though. If you fancy leaving a rating or a review, if your podcast platform permits, that is a really big help in getting us noticed. And spread the word as much as you can. Tell your friends and people you barely know. They'll thank you in the end. Coastal Stories is researched, written and produced by Charlie Connolly. And listened to by you, the people listening. See you next time.